Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're looking ahead to the card at Navan on this edition of the Preview. Seven races from the Irish venue to look forward to, kicking off at 1:45. And you'll hear it live, of course, on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Mark Walton and Craig Forsyth in the studio alongside Foss Lass and Market Raisin. In the meantime, though, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me on the line, as ever, is our Irish racing expert, Andy Holding, to take a look at the action. How are you, Andy? You
good? Morning, Sam. Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Good stuff. As is often the case on a Sunday, Andy, it's the Irish card that's providing the real quality of the day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the Boyne Hurdle, of course, it's proudly in the middle of the card there, along with the Flying Bolt, and not forgetting the 10-up as well. Three grady races to sort of whet the appetite with Cheltenham around the corner as well. And I think we get one or two more late clues as well, the final pieces in the jigsaw being put in place for one or two trainers with their eye on proceedings in a few weeks' time.
So we'll start then with the first race of the day up at 1:45. This one is a 2 mile maiden hurdle. Horse No Name leads the market at 11-8. Mike McCann is 5-2. Ellis Gurry is 3-1. It's 5-1 for Kisro. 12-1 bar those. Who gets the pick in the first?
Yeah, there's a couple that catch the eye here. First of all, we'll start with the favourite, Horse No Name. A worthy one of that as well, on my estimations. With a decent run here the last day when he cut out most of the running until getting a little bit tired late on, until he was picked off by Rogue Trader from the Charlie Swan stable. But that was a fair return, considering that was only his second start for New Connections. Prior to that, he'd run well behind William Mullins' Sombermore down in Tremor, but the ground was desperate that day, combination of the trip, the track as well, and the 2 mile five distance just prevented Horse No Name performing up to his very best. But 2 miles, obviously, around Navan suits him. And he does set the standard there, because Mike McCann, who was favourite in that race, was well beaten. He's second favourite today. I'm imagining he'll hold the form up with that horse pretty strongly. So Horse With No Name is definitely the number one choice. But do keep an eye on this Cicero, Gerard Keane's 7-year-old, who got a massively eye-catching run first time out at Nace. Not a great deal was mentioned of this in the Racing Post close-ups after the race. I thought it would be. I thought we'd have a whole War and Peace kind of paragraphs after his run. But it doesn't really do justice. He was given a real tender ride by Mark Flanagan first time up, but was noted doing some really nice late work, not being unduly punished. And I totally agree with the traders as well. I think this horse will definitely be in the frame, and he's one to keep an eye on here. But Horse No Name would be the number one choice. But as I said, for those of you looking for a little bit of each-way thievery and an unsung horse, then Cicero is definitely the one for you.
OK, and Cicero, the one for Andy in the first race of the day up at 1:45. Next up is the first of the Grade 2s from Navan at 2:15. The Boyne Hurdle ran over 2 mile and 5 furlong. 8 of them lineups contest this. As I mentioned earlier on, a strong Willie Mullins contingent lineup for this one, but it's the Tony Martin trained Dedigout who leads the market at 11-8. 5-2 for Briar Hill. Zaypor is 9-2. 16-1 for Back in Focus, and 20s bar those. The top three in the market, Andy, have clashed heads already this season. Who comes out on top today?
Well, you'd have to go with Dedigout here if you're being sort of like a sensible straight back punter. He's the one who sets the standard. We know he goes really well around this track. He's 2-2 over hurdles here at Navan. And his last win here at the track was in the Liz Mullen Hurdle. That was in November 2013, when he accounted for a decent field, Marla Beach being the main opponent he was up against that day. And, you know, in these kind of races, conditions, hurdles and the ground soft in Ireland, he's, I'd say he's unbeatable, but, you know, he's a fairly reliable yardstick. Probably only grade one level sometimes finds this horse out. He's tried Cheltenham once, and His last run in a Grade 1, he was only six behind Lieutenant Colonel at Leopardstown. But these are the kind of races he thrives in. The softer, the heavier the ground, the better, if I'm being absolutely truthful. If it dries out, then obviously that dwindles his chance. But it is still riding on the soft side, so that should be just about okay for him. His two main rivals, as the market suggests, are Briarhill and Zaidpool, the only two other course and distance winners in the field. Briars Hill's only career victory over hurdles came when he won the Navanovice Hurdle Grade 1. But, of course, don't forget there was only two runners that day, and he beat Azorian, so that doesn't really account for much. He's very much got to get his season back on track after one or two disappointments of late. And, you know, he's got a bit of fun on Didigat in there running the Galmore Hurdle at Garum Park when Didigat was very game, beating off Zaidpour and Monksland. Zaidpour, obviously, he's another Liz Mullen Hurdle winner. And he's the trophy holder from this year, of course. So we know he goes well around the track. So the market's got this absolutely spot on. I don't think there's any great value either way. I think it's exactly the way I'd bet the race. But I'd have to go Didigout. He's already beaten Zaidpour and Briarhill this season. And he's 2-for-2 at the track. So that'll do for me.
Right, fair enough then. And he's sticking with the favourite then in that 2:15. Next up at 2:50, we have a handicap hurdle. Ran over the extended 2 mile and 6 furlong trip. 14 of them. Go in this one. I Shot the Sheriff is the 4-1 market leader at the time of recording. Grudy Hill is 9-2, 7-1 about Forever Gold, 8-1 Railway Tommy. Romantic Fashion is 9-1. It's 10s or bigger, the rest of them. It's been a long time off the track for this favourite, I Shot the Sheriff. Last we saw him, he was a faller in the Albert Bartlett back in 2013. Now with Tony Martin, he was with David Pipe back then. How good are his chances today?
Well, a lot depends on the market, doesn't it, really, with I Shot the Sheriff. Of course, a song famously sung by Kenny Rogers many, many years ago. For those of you in older disposition, will certainly know that, the likes of you. Sam, I don't think you'll know what on earth I'm talking about.
I do know, actually. Yeah. I Shot the Sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy.
Oh, fantastic. You've been Googling this morning. Well done.
I've got my dad to thank for that.
Exactly. Probably old enough to be your dad as well. I Shot the Sheriff, like I say, he's been off the track for quite a while. Used to be with David Pipe, now could be very well handicapped off a mark of 121 with Tony Martin. But the market is going to be the key to how that horse performs likely today. No great surprise to see Grudy Hill being backed, courtesy of Tom Segal tipping him in his piece. I think he owns the record for number of tips by Tom Segal in one season. I think Tom's tipped Grudy Hill every single time he's run this year. He was disappointing for him last time out over fences, of course, in the Thiestes Chase at Garran. Where we couldn't really see much what's going on that day, but he was pulled up anyway. He does go well around this track, and he's off a very tempting mark here over hurdles of 109 compared to his chase mark of 129. So he could be a dangerous floater there. But I'm going to go with Forever Gold from the Edward Crawley stable. He's a very consistent horse over fences and over hurdles, and I think he holds the best form coming into this race, courtesy of that run the other day at Leopardstown when he was third behind what I consider to be one of the best handicapped horses, most talented stayers coming through the ranks in the shape of Maidor, who I thought should have won the other day, but got too far back in a race that was run at a strong gallop and couldn't quite get there. But I like the way that Forever Gold kept on under pressure on the run in that day. And as I said, I think that form line is probably the best. Dom Lucker's definitely got a chance now. He's dropping back in trip. He cut out most of the running and looked as though he was going to be dangerous until weakening in over the last and on the running. But 2 miles six should be fine for him. But I'll go with Forever Gold. There's already been a bit of market activity for him this morning. I can see why. And with Davy Russell booked as well, around about 6-1, he gets the each way vote.
Okay, Forever Gold, the one for Andy then. As 7-1 poke at the time of recording. We'll move on then to the next race on the card. This is the second of the Grade 2s of the day at 3:20. A novice's chase ran over 2 mile and 1 furlong. 5 of them line up to contest this. Gil Gamboa is the 8-15 favourite. Real Steel 4-1, 8-1 Bishop's Road. Dromnia is 16-1. The outside of the 5 is Ronak. Who makes the appeal in this quintet, Andy?
It's the big Gil Gamboa, doesn't it? There's no undersco in this race, which is music to the ears of connections of Edmund Boulder Charge, and we know that he performs really well over this track as well. His first run in a novice's chase resulted in victory over course and distance when he beat Blood Cateel, very useful horse in his own right. And that was in a very slick time as well. And subsequently, he went on to run even faster in a Grade 2 at Limerick over the Christmas period, beating the likes of Wounded Warrior back in third, who subsequently won next time out. So he was really expected to maybe push Willie Mullins' charge on the back of his numbers and his general progression. at Leopardstown, but he was no match for the Mullins runner, who was absolutely scintillating in winning the Irish Arkle in a world record time. It was an unbelievable time for a novice. And, of course, under Sco, as we know, is a worthy favourite for the Arkle, and barring accidents, and four legs down the ground, you know, he should be winning the Arkle at the Cheltenham Festival. So Gilgenbauer obviously represents that form. And to be honest, the other four just don't look up to the class of Gilgenbauer, albeit they're useful in their own right. The two Giggingstown runners, Real Steel and Bishop's Road, have been running reasonably well, without suggesting they're anything out the top draw. Drumnir is a horse I love. I think he's going to be a nice staying chaser in future. He might be a horse to sort of like follow in the hoofprints of Ballygreen over time. He's a very tall, stocky, rangy son of presenting, and you know, he's a nice type. But whether he's, you know, his form's good enough, that Champagne James win last time at Champagne James has got beat since in a handicap. I just, like I say, I like him, but I just don't think he's good enough to beat Gilgenbauer. So I think the market's got this race right. 8-15 for William Hill, with William Hill. You know, he's going to be one for the short price merchants today.
Fair enough then, Gilgenbauer in that one then for Andy. We'll move on to the 3:55. This one, a three-mark grade two novices chase with six of them down to go to post. Noble Emperor leads the market at 3-1. 7-2 for Thunder and Roses. Ureno is 4-1. It's 4-1 about Verywood. 5-1 for Apache Jack. And the Crafty Butcher is 16-1 poke. Who gets the selection in this 3:55?
Yeah, I think the key form line to this race comes from early on in December. It was the race at Val de Ferbe, won at Fairy House. And contesting that race also was the eventual second, Noble Emperor, and the horse that was travelling really strongly and looking most likely to threaten the Mullins runner at the time of departure, and that was Thunder and Roses. And he's going to get my vote today to uphold that form. I think he would have beaten Noble Emperor in the finish that day. He was certainly going just as well, if not better, when he departed. And the subsequent victory at Fairy House suggests that, you know, like I say, he would have pushed the favourite all the way, because he was really impressive back at the same course and distance a month later, when he outstayed at Catnap, who subsequently gone on to run really well the other day down in Thurles. Well beaten that day was a horse called Balbert de Mathan, who'd previously shown some good form behind Levant Dantin, the ill-fated Levant Dantin at Leopardstown. So he was beating a good standard of opponent there. And don't forget, this horse has been really mixing it in the top-class company so far this season, Thunder Roses. He was third behind Andreana de Mott, who's been third in a grade one subsequently. And, of course, Apache Stronghold. He saw the backside of that first time out of fences down in Down Royal. And Apache Stronghold, for me anyway, is the best 2.5 mile chaser we've seen, or novice chaser we've seen this season. Certainly the time suggests that. So Thunder and Roses represents all those form lines here. And he's available to back at a rather good price this morning as well. I thought he'd be a good deal shorter than this. He's around about a 7-2 chance this morning on the morning line. I think he'll beat Noble Emperor again. And, you know, the others, albeit they're useful, I don't think they're in the same quality as Thunder and Roses. A big, strong, strapping son of presenting. We're going to see the best of him over staying distances in the future. This will take some getting today. We know he goes well around the track. He's a course winner over hurdles. And I think this race should set him up for a tilt at either the RSA chase at the Cheltenham Festival, or more realistically, the staying race, the National Hunt chase over 4 miles. So Thunder and Roses, one of the best bets on the card in the 3:55.
Okay, Thunder and Roses in 3:55 then for Andy. The penultimate race of the day comes up at 4:25. This one is a 2 mile handicap hurdle. Written in the Stars is the 3-1 favourite. People's Park is 7-2. It's 8-1 for Noble Call, 8-1 for Bloomsday, 10-1 Dave Stamper, and 12s or bigger. The rest of them, a sizeable field for this handicap. Andy, who's the one for you?
Yeah, good money for Written in the Stars from the Tyner camp. Robert Tyner's got a good record at this track. You know, he's had quite a few winners here this season. And the way this horse won last time out, who's to say that he won't follow suit here with this improving nine-year-old? However, there are a couple of interesting ones against him, most notably People's Park, who was a massive eye-catcher earlier on in the season here, over 2 miles behind Harvey Logan. And he subsequently Frank, that theory that he was a winner waiting to happen when winning over 2.5 at Fairy House. Bit disappointing last time out at Leopardstown, but the ground was absolutely filthy that day, and you'd forgive any horse not running up to form, and he raced a bit keenly. But I think dropping back in trip over a track where we know he goes well, I'd imagine that People's Park will run really well for connections here today. He would be the number one choice. Do keep an eye on Noble Call and Newsreader as well. I know the connections of Noble Call, and even though they think he's a bit of a monkey, he's certainly got plenty of talent. And we've already seen Shabra's Bertolini, the unlucky fifth horse out of that race that was won by Lil Shane at Nacy the other day, go on to record a victory subsequently. So that form has been upheld. So Nabucola ran him at 10-1, along with Newsreader, could certainly outrun their odds. But the market makes it between the front two in the betting, Written in the Stars and People's Park. And I think the second favourite here is the one to concentrate on.
Right, fair enough. People's Park then in the 4:25. Final race of the day at 5 o'clock is a 2-mile bumper to close the card. Arcrest is the even money favourite. It's 4-1 for Cogri Hill. Tuzo is 4-1. 7-1 for That's How He Did It. And 12-1 or bigger prices, the rest. Are you predicting more bumper success for Willie Mullins here?
Well, the market was predicting that he'd win first time out at Fairy House. He travelled really strongly. It looked like he was going to justify favouritism when swinging on the bridle into home straight, only to find not a great deal off the bridle, or not as much as anticipated. Certainly not enough anyway, as Angus did, who's subsequently gone on to win over hurdles next time out. So that form isn't too shabby. He's certainly got to improve, and I think they better ground or two at Arkwright as well. He just seemed to have got bogged down in the ground that day, if anything. So he's certainly going to be favourite in high on punters list here to justify the high regard that Willie Mullins holds him in. That said, this won't be no pushover, because there's one or two nice types in it against him here. Cogri Hill, he was also well fancied first time up. He finished second behind Tuzo, and I think that's a useful bit of form as well, because the winner, or Court de Tour, I think might well be Cheltenham Festival bound. Certainly, he's one on the shortlist anyway for Willie Mullins, who seems to have got the bumper at Cheltenham by the scruff of the neck anyway. He's certainly got, you know, probably about the first six or seven in the betting. And I quite like the way that those two kept on behind the short price favourite that day, particularly Tuzo, who looked as though he was suffering for a bit of wheel spin in the closing stage, until really getting the hang of it late on and powering towards the line, and in the end, running by Cogri Hill in the shadows of the post. And I think of the two, I'd sooner be with him from an each-way perspective today if you didn't want to back the favourite at a short price. We can back him, like I say, at a reasonable 4-1 this morning, which does make plenty of appeal from an each-way perspective. So he's probably the one I go with in the last. I think Arkwright's a nice horse and he might well improve. But 4-1 for Tuzo, that's the way I'd approach the last race. I'd back him each way.
OK, it's Tuzo then for Andy in the 5 o'clock, the final race of the day. If you could just remind us, please, of your seven selections for the card at Navan on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll do, Sam. Yeah, let's have a quick run through. The first race, I didn't think it was a particularly strong maiden hurdle. Horse No Name certainly sets the good standard with a good run over course and distance. But I think Cicero could certainly upset the apple cart anyway of many and outrun his odds. I suggest maybe you have a few quid each around him. De Dig Out's the obvious choice in the Boyne hurdle. He's 2-2 at the track and, of course, defeated a good field last time out down in Gowran. All eyes will be on I Shot the Sheriff and the market activity surrounding his chance today. But I think Forever Gold, either which way you strip this down, should be there or thereabouts with his run last time out at Leopardstown. Gilgan Barrow looks a penalty kick in the flying bolt, providing he stays on his feet. Really like the chance of Thunder and Rosie. He's probably the best bet in the car for me if he can get 7-2 and the 10 up. In the 4:25, I think People's Park will run well here again. He's already proven that he likes the track with a good run early on in the season. In the final race, Arkwright will be favoured by quite a few punters looking to back a Willie Mullins short price favoured bumper horse. But I quite like Tuzo's run down in Fairy House the other day. He'll do for me each way.
OK, fair enough then. Excellent stuff. The thoughts of Andy Holding ahead of the Navan card on Sunday. Remember, you'll hear it all live from 1:25 p.m. with William Hill's Racing Radio. It's Mark Walton and Craig Forsyth in the studio taking in all of that Navan card, as well as the action at Foss Lass and Market Raisin. Thank you very much for joining me this morning on the preview, Andy, and good luck with those bets at Navan today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.